News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, before I go too much further, too, let me just remind you guys, ZLA Solutions, these are friends of mine. I know these folks, and they are good at what they do. And what they do is they put jobs and people together on a regular daily basis. Now, if you're looking for a job, I mean like you personally looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They got great jobs posted all over North Alabama, so that's big doings right there. They can help you find your individual job. They got jobs posted like, you know, it's $17, $18, $19 an hour right now. Okay, there's that. But if you're an employer and you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce, oh yeah, that's their bread and butter, man. They will hook you up. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, don't matter, I always say. So yeah, ZLA Solutions, they are there for you. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. Tell them about it. You heard about it on Right Side Radio, by the way. They'll get a kick out of that. All right, listen, red flags are flying. So I know you've heard about this shooting incident that took place up in Highland Park, Illinois. It's one of the upscale or more affluent suburbs of Chicago. Chicago, by the way, violence in Chicago is out of control. Something like 38 people were shot in incidents over the weekend alone, this last weekend. Five of those died. That's not including the fact that on Monday, at a 4th of July celebration, a guy who, I mean, I'll just be honest with you, he's a freak show. He looks like someone who has some issues. He's rather disturbing, and tattoos and all that don't necessarily bother me. What I'm saying is, it was the manner in which he wore them. You know, tattoos under his eye and other things that he aspired to be a young rapper, but he's not. And he just had apparently a very difficult family life, and he's obviously disturbed. Anyway, his name is Robert Cremo. Well, Cremo apparently took up a rooftop position and began shooting at people who had just showed up to watch a 4th of July parade. Five died on the scene. Another one died at the hospital later. 30 people in all were shot as he sat up on the roof, dressed in women's clothes, and then escaped. He had thought this through. There is some indication now that he actually had a plan to go to another location and repeat the process against another gathering. All that to say, people are wondering, how did this guy get so much opportunity to do so much damage? Well, they have amazing gun restriction laws in the area, all right? State of Illinois is not gun friendly. And yet he passed all the background checks. Why? Because his own father sponsored it. Despite the fact that he was suicidal and had mental issues, despite the fact that they'd had the police called to the house before for previous incidents in which he was threatening to kill people in the family, his father sponsored him for a gun permit. Somehow or another, he was able to buy at least one, maybe two AR-15s. And I'm just telling you right now, those are all red flags, if you will. But yet, the red flag laws aren't working because red flag laws don't work. In my opinion, what really should have worked there was the family should have done its job. There should have been a sense of ownership and personal responsibility over a situation that was spiraling out of control, and they chose to do nothing about it, and six people are dead, 24 more are wounded. So we're going to talk about that more after the break, but let me do this. I got a call. Copper, did we have a caller? I thought we had a caller on the line. I was going to grab that call real quick. No? Oh, she... Okay, you want to just grab the mic and tell me what she was calling for? Is there...
Sorry, I was still on the phone with her. Yeah, she says she doesn't want to come on air.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, nonetheless, then I'll keep talking. I'll go back to the topic at hand. Red flag laws. So red flag laws, what are those? Phil, red flag laws. Well, oh my gosh, I'm looking up on the screen right now, and there it is. Red flag laws under scrutiny. I'm sitting here in the studio. This happens all the time. I'll be in the middle of talking about something, and boom, it comes up on the screen. I swear, I think Fox News is listening to our show, and they're going, hey, Williams is talking about this. Put it up on the air. Anyway, red flag laws. What that basically means is state laws will take effect that allow the state to govern what they consider to be warning signs. Now, did this guy Cremo have a lot of warning signs? Yeah. But the question I have for you is this. Do you want New York Governor Kathy Hochul deciding what is considered to be a warning sign when she has openly expressed that she has no respect for the Second Amendment? Do you want Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, to have some say over what is considered a red flag? Or for that matter, do you want Gavin Newsom out in California to decide what he thinks is a red flag? Because when they do, what they'll begin doing is putting in place issues that good, solid citizens who have no bearing on what things like Robert Cremo had in terms of his mental health, you're going to wind up seeing good people being held back by so-called red flag laws. The most recent bipartisan, so-called bipartisan legislation out of D.C., incentivizes states to create red flag laws. Hey, I got a caller real quick. Let me grab that with the last minute we have before the break. Chris from Lauderdale. Hey, Chris, we got about 30, 45 seconds. What you got, man?
Okay, thank you for taking my call. It's the government's fault, and here's why. They have forced these regulations on us where they're supposed to do background checks on us, but they have not upgraded their background checks to include social media and other things that have since come about since they instituted those.
Well, but they also still have family. I mean, he had a mother and a father who didn't even bother to look.
I agree. There's fault there, but the government forces us to have these background checks in violation of our Second Amendment rights. And
well,
since
they've done that,
they have not increased their background checks to include social media.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I want them going into my social media. But, hey, man, we're up against the break, brother. We got to run. Thanks for the call, though. And if you want to call back after the top of the hour, you can. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More on this when we get back. Red flag laws? Yeah, well, the red flags are flying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Yep. Like the dude just said, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right on a regular basis. So, hey, by the way, our last caller, and we didn't have a chance to really talk because the music began playing before he really got a chance to enlighten me on his point. I think what he was trying to say was he thinks that background checks ought to include reviews of social media, and I don't know how we could possibly manage that. First of all, you don't always know for a fact that the person themselves is managing the social media profile. It's not uncommon, especially if someone's an elected official or someone is, you know, a business leader or whatever else. It's not uncommon for someone else to manage a profile that has their name attached to it. So there's that. The other piece you have to consider is sometimes things get said and then you sort of wish you could take it back because it's not really the way you are or the way you feel, but you were angry at the moment or you said something you shouldn't have or you posted something or you accidentally retweeted something. I'm just saying, social media, careful. Now, review it, certainly. And you know what? Families, you should know what your kids are doing. And I would just go ahead and hazard this, that there's no reason why a 13-year-old should be on Snapchat 20 hours a day because all it does is sacrifice their self-esteem for what the influencers are saying it looks good. But here's the other piece. There are times when on social media, like I said, you said something or someone said it for you, that someone can then turn around and weaponize that against you. You better make sure you know what's on your social media profile. And one of the questions that I have is, how is it possible that New York, the state of New York, just lost at the Supreme Court of the United States? They lost on the ability to restrict someone from having a concealed carry permit. They were told it is not your purview to decide what is just or what is necessary for a person who has applied for a concealed carry permit. So what did they do? They turned around and passed an additional law. Today's the 6th. This came in on the 2nd. So I'm looking at a story right now, going back to the social media comment. New York approves a new gun law requiring buyers to provide social media handles. You have to provide your social media address for them to review. Well, again, are you going to really have the bureaucratic capability to review what they say they're going to do? They're literally saying in New York they want to review 3 years of your social media. Do you know how many tweets that could mean for some people? I mean, me personally, I probably send out 5 or 6 tweets a day on the average. But you do that times 365 days a year for 3 years? I mean, how are you going to manage this? Oh, by the way, this is nothing more than another ploy to make it harder for people to maintain their Second Amendment rights. Now, that being said, we're looking at the issue of red flag laws. Red flag laws are a dangerous concept for a variety of reasons. Number one is because, like Copper's Corner a while ago, they literally take and put in the hands of government the ability to ensure how you feel. And they can't possibly know how you feel. Red flag laws are literally designed because there may not be a conviction yet. There's just a concern. It's a red flag. It's a prelude to potentially being something. This guy, Cremo, it was legit. He had real red flags. His own father called the police when he was suicidal and threatened to kill the family and then backed him up to go buy an AR-15 and get a firearm permit in Illinois. Why would you do that, sir? Why would you do that? And I, by the way, I guarantee you the civil lawsuits are brewing right now against that man. And they should. I'm not sure what state law allows in Illinois with regards to secondary liability, but I'll just tell you, he bears some ownership over the situation. He had a disturbed son, and he helped him become a murderer. Now, at the same time, what about some of the things you see? Let's say you've got a bad divorce going on, or you know, the baby daddy is made you mad. And so you call and make that. I'm going to call and tell him what that mean thing was. I'm going to file a police report. Why? Because you made me mad. Well, next thing you know, you got a situation where someone has a police incident report, and it alleges, you know, domestic discontent at the very least, if not alleging potential for domestic violence. Has there been a conviction? No. What if you had red flag laws? This is one of the big ones. This is one of the ones they want. Domestic violence. I'm not promoting domestic violence, nor am I. By the way, you can go down to Montgomery and ask the folks from Vocal. Vocal is an organization, V-O-C-A-L. It was a victim rights advocacy group. I was one of their lead proponents in the Alabama State Senate. But what I am saying is this. Due process means that everyone is allowed their day. You cannot deprive someone of their constitutional rights based upon an allegation that has not received adjudication. You cannot simply say, I was mad, so I filed a report. And that became a thing that caused you to lose your guns, because then you have a gun seizure order being issued because it's a red flag law. It's a red flag law. Oh, my goodness. We have a report, and we have bureaucrats in office who don't like guns anyway, so they're harping on it. And they look in there and they go, hey, wait a minute. We've got a red flag. Send somebody over there, take down the door, seize his firearms. And then you have the warrant being served on a house that is otherwise innocent because they've not been convicted of anything. And next thing you know, a constitutional right has been violated. By the way, where does it stop? Where does it stop? Because if they can do that to one constitutional right, at what point does it not become speech? At what point does it not become the freedom of assembly? At what point does it not become, so right there in one fell swoop, these red flag laws are dealing with your constitutional rights to the Second Amendment, right to bear arms, and also your right to due process. If they can do away with those things so cavalierly, if they can put in place something that does not require a conviction, that merely requires a bureaucratic assessment, then what can they do next? When can they say that the Office of Disinformation is going to come in because your social media page appeared to be something that was not allowed? You can't speak against the COVID vaccine mandates. What's wrong with you? You can't go down that road. What's wrong with you? You, stay over here. Stand in line. Show me your papers. That's where we're going if we let this keep happening. I know you think, oh, Phil, you're sounding extreme. Well, what do you think happens with slippery slopes? You slip once, you slide. Well, folks, This Highland Park shooting was a horrible situation. Horrible. But we cannot allow ourselves to continue down the road of saying that when one deranged individual does something bad, that all of us have to pay with our constitutional rights. That's not the way America works. So yeah, Robert Cremo III, who used the pseudonym Awake the Rapper, was caught driving his mommy's silver Honda. The police pulled him over after a brief chase, took him into custody. His dad, according to a story on Fox News, he was under 21, so the application for his firearms identification card, which is what they have to have in Illinois, was sponsored by his father. His same father, who in another story, according to Fox on July 5th, says that had called the police because he had a collection of knives and was saying he was going to kill everyone. And so the police went to the scene and they seized 16 knives, a dagger, and a sword from his possession. But they took no further action because the family wouldn't pursue it. Soon thereafter, he purchased two high-powered rifles. This week, he killed six people. Now, these red flag laws right now are being incentivized because most recently, we saw legislation that was titled the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act passed in D.C. I mean, you know what? They can't do a thing on the southern border, apparently. But within 2 weeks of a mass shooting where one deranged individual broke the law and killed people tragically, they can get together and they can do things that infringe upon our rights, not the least of which is including $750 million of your tax dollars to incentivize states to implement and maintain red flag programs. Story on that in the Texas Tribune that I'll share with you as soon as we get back from this break. But Copper, we are there already, so go ahead and take us to the break. We'll do that. We'll come back. I'll tell you, by the way, how your Alabama senators voted with regards to that bipartisan Safer Communities Act. You might want to know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, before I go any further on this question of red flag laws, I've got a caller on line three who held on during the break, so let me grab that real quick. Yeah, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing today?
Doing well, and it is about the red flag laws and, right, and everything, and usually I don't like to go into conjecture and what ifs. However, in this case, what if a neighbor reports you and you happen to be a sheriff's deputy, a 20 years old, or a member of the military or the police department, and your job requires you to address and use firearms, whether it's a tank or a handgun?
Yeah.
What goes back through that process, and how are you going to set somebody's career back on that? I imagine that the probably whatever you do on the red flag is going to apply to that person's ability to handle a firearm in any situation.
Well, and you're exactly right. I actually know a guy who was in the National Guard who, in the middle of a bad divorce, his wife filed a report on him that didn't necessarily stand up to long-term credibility, but it was enough for him to be put on desk duty at work for a while. And that was a significant blow to him as a patrolman. And it also, you know, it raised questions in the eyes of his coworkers and everything else. And he had to suffer through that. And you're right. That's the kind of thing that we got to watch out for.
All right. You have a good day, sir.
Thank you. Man, you too. All right. Well, listen, this is going to be an ongoing debate because liberals see this as being, well, the Second Amendment is not worth keeping anyway, so why are we so worried about it? And my point I said earlier, you can call this a hypothetical if you want to, but the reality is when you open the door to allow the encroachment on one of your civil liberties, you've opened the door to allow for the encroachment on all of them. Well, Phil, don't you want to get the guns out of the hands of crazy people? Well, I think you got to watch out and decide who's allowed to decide what's crazy. And oh, by the way, is there an actual level of due process applied to give that person the right to have their rights defended? Or are you just going to go ahead and say, well, you know, because we say so, unelected bureaucrat working in the office that decides what's what? I got a caller on line four. Let me grab that real quick. Luke from Athens. Hey, Luke, Phil Williams, how you doing?
How you doing, Phil?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I was just commenting about New York's new gun control law concerning social media.
Yeah.
I got an idea. I ain't got no social media. Just tell them that.
Well, you know, it's a great point. And in fact, I'm glad you said that. I was asking the other day, so what happens if you don't have social media? You don't have anything to give them. So what are they going to say? You're lying to us. Prove it. What do they do then?
Yeah, it's like not everybody's on Facebook. Not everybody's on Snapchat or Instagram. Well, you can't monitor Snapchat in the first place. And plus, what about deleting all your past posts that may prevent you from getting a gun? I mean, I'm sure they'll look for plenty of posts to give an excuse not to give you what you want, but...
Well,
how do you prove... And another thing about the law is, I ain't read it clearly, but what are they looking for?
Well, that's a great point. You know, that Office of Misinformation that the Biden administration was trying to start was going to be the arbiter of what is considered true. So what happens if you apply for a gun permit, but you've been somebody who thinks that Fauci was wrong and we shouldn't have vaccine mandates for jobs? I mean, are you suddenly considered to be one who is not safe to own a firearm? I don't know.
Probably they're going to leave it up to their interpretation.
Well, yeah.
It's all about controls, what it is.
And that's why we have to resist this now before it gets put in place. Hey, Luke, great call, man. Thanks very much. Good point. I'm glad you brought that up about the not having a social media. Thanks for the call, bud. Hey, he makes a great point. What you're looking at here is an opportunity for confiscation of personal property, firearms, violation of a constitutional right, the Second Amendment. Oh, and by the way, was it the 4th? I got to look back. The 4th or the 14th, the due process rights that you have under the Constitution. And then, you know, then you go back to the other question of who gets to decide. I mean, Luke's call a moment ago, he pointed out, who gets to decide what it is you're saying on social media? Now, if you're saying, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm going to murder everybody tomorrow, I get it. But if you just are mad at the election and you say that election was stolen, are you considered a January 6th, you know, big lie teller, and therefore you're considered to be unstable and you need to lose your firearms? What if you get on there and you say something about your ex because you're in the middle of a bad breakup? Does that suddenly call into question, wait a minute, are you a domestic violence person? No, I just was mad. You know, there's so many immature people on social media who sit there in their mommy's basement typing things, you know, in their pajamas that regret them later. And by the way, what do you do with the fact that people have fake accounts? I mean, my biggest trolls on social media, the ones who ping me all the time about something and try to take issue with what I say, they don't use their real names. So I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at some of these accounts and thinking, you use an avatar for your picture and you, oh, by the way, you don't do anything that gives away who you are. So I just think that we're headed down, I think we're headed down a slippery slope, and we have to make sure that we are not going to places that violate our rights. I got a little more on that. I didn't even get into who is in our U.S. delegation and how they voted on this. I'll tell you about that when we get back. You might want to know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Time now 4:36 p.m. Bunch of y'all are in go home mode, and I know it. I can feel the wind being sucked out of the buildings as people are grabbing their keys and headed for the parking lot. Listen, you may be thinking on the way home, what am I doing for dinner? What am I doing? I don't want to wash dishes. I want something I don't usually get. I don't want the usual fast food. I'm looking for something. Anyway, Just Love Coffee Cafe. Hey, Copper, grab the microphone real quick.
Yes.
What's your notion? Would you want to hear something off the menu from Just Love Coffee Cafe for breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Oh, lunch.
Lunch. All right. So are you a sandwich person?
Yes, I am.
There is the All-American BLT, the bacon, lettuce, and tomato on sourdough bread served with jalapeno mayo, chips, and a pickle, and cooked, by the way, in a waffle iron.
I'm already hungry.
I know. They have the grilled Italian caprese. It's a mozzarella cheese, basil, pepper jack cheese, sliced tomato served on sourdough with a side of balsamic vinaigrette, chips, and a pickle spear. I'm just saying. They got clubs. They got sandwiches. They got the Jive Turkey Wrap, which is one of my favorites. They've got breakfast you can have for dinner if you want it. Folks, listen, Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations in our listening area. One on Hughes Road in Madison out toward City Hall. The other one on South Memorial Parkway near Whole Foods. I'm just telling you, Just Love Coffee Cafe is a great place for coffee and for hanging out, but it's also a great place for a meal. So check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, listen, I am in the number two of the Triple Dipper. We may not get to number three. In fact, at this point, I'm betting we're not. Phone lines are open, 866-494-9866. Do you disagree with me? I mean, do you think red flag laws are necessary? I want to hear your thoughts on it, because if you do, just call and tell me. But number one, know this. I'm of the firm belief that you cannot do this and do it well. I've got a story here. This came off of the Washington Times. It's actually from 2019, before they even passed the Bipartisan Safe Communities Act or whatever it's called. Title of it is How Red Flag Laws Open the Door to Sweeping Gun Confiscation. And it makes some great points. He, first of all, the author says, you know, by their very nature, criminals ignore existing laws governing guns, and the passage of additional restrictions on gun ownership only make it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to buy or sell firearms. Great point. It's the thing that always gets overlooked, is you can put all the background checks in place that you want. You can talk about ghost guns being scary. You can talk about the fact that, you know, people want to buy and sell among themselves. People want to collect firearms. People want to go, you know, to shooting events. Guess what? The law-abiding citizens are the only ones hurt by the laws, because the criminals are going to do it regardless. That being said, he also makes the point that red flag laws, here, I'm just going to read it to you. Ready? Red flag laws, for example, he says, are often touted by their supporters as common sense gun control. How many times have we heard that lately? What we need is common sense gun control. Measures that will help ensure that people might do harm to themselves or others cannot keep their guns. However, he says, and this is well done, these laws expose lawful gun owners to random and subjective judgments without due process. It says, if a family member, a coworker, maybe a physician, somehow believes or decides you may be a threat, they can call authorities with a story about you and empower the authorities to seize your firearms. At that point, your Second Amendment rights, he says, now fall victim to a disgruntled employee, or a neighbor with a grudge, or an estranged spouse who can fabricate an accusation allowing the police to remove the guns from your home or person. Somebody trying to score points in a custody battle. Who knows? I'm just saying, that's what's going to wind up happening, and it's the law-abiding citizens that will pay the price for this. I got a caller on line five. Let me grab that real quick. Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, Phil Williams. How you doing today?
Hey, Phil, I'm blessed. I wanted to suggest that they keep talking about the crazies who may not be a minority that go crazy with a firearm and shoot a bunch of people, but they never do mention all of the gang members and the other crazies who are not, quote, from law-abiding families. And so it gives them fodder for their mission to take firearms from people who would report a red flag offender.
No, great point. They leave out a whole segment of the non-law-abiding society that's already breaking the laws. That Chicago, by the way, has huge, Thomas, has huge levels of gun restriction laws in place, and yet they had 38 people shot last weekend alone.
Yeah, it's just tragic.
It is. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being in the audience. Thomas from Athens. Yeah, you want to call in, folks, 866-494-9866. So how did your U.S. delegation vote when it came time to see this Bipartisan Safe Communities Act get passed? The one that has $750 million in it to go towards things like, you know, red flag laws. Well, your Alabama senators voted against it. So statements made by both Senator Tommy Tuberville and Senator Richard Shelby. I'll just give you a quick snip of both, not the whole statements because they're, you know, several paragraphs long. But Tommy Tuberville says, "I've always been a proud supporter of the Second Amendment. As the Supreme Court rightly recognized this week," that was just last week, actually, or a couple weeks ago, "any attempts to interfere with law-abiding citizens' Second Amendment rights should be subject to a high level of scrutiny. He says, "I carefully considered this bill, and ultimately I believe it fell short of ensuring protection of our constitutional Second Amendment rights. While I appreciate the bill includes provisions that focus on mental health, I have serious concerns over how states could implement red flag laws without appropriate due process protections. And I'm disappointed with the lack of direct funding to safeguard our schools." Good for you, Senator Tuberville. Senator Shelby, likewise. "I firmly believe this legislation raises serious constitutional concerns and opens the door to the erosion of the Second Amendment to our Constitution. This does not leave room for question. It is evident that our founding fathers counted the right to keep and bear arms as fundamental. As such, I do not believe that restrictive gun laws are the answer to curbing violent crime in America. Let's enforce the laws already on the books, combat the culture of violence in society, and address the underlying issues that may contribute to such heinous acts." I totally agree. Katie Britt, who is likely to be our next U.S. senator to replace Senator Shelby, she also said, in her opinion, in a most recent statement on 1819 News, that she believed that she would have opposed the bill had she been there. She does not support additional gun laws. She believes that those so-called red flag laws are being promoted by gun grabbers, in her words, as a gateway to push their disarming agenda. She says, "In reality, a red flag law is an abridgment of the Second Amendment and can be abused to take away the right to self-defense with no due process." She's got it. She's got it right. Probably very likely to be your next U.S. senator. So there, folks, you may be glad to know that your U.S. delegation said no in the Senate, and your future senator said no, had she been given the opportunity. Let me jump over to the phone real quick. I got two of them. Line one, Jeff from Huntsville. Jeff from Huntsville, red flag laws.
Hey, Phil, how are you, man?
I'm good, sir.
I'm listening to you on the way home today, and, you know, I keep hearing people talk about what if, you know, an estranged relative or an ex-employer said something. But we saw how bad the election season was this year, and every Republican in the state of Alabama has comments about guns on their commercials. What stops a Democrat supporter from making an anonymous call and having the homes of these people raided?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing stops that.
And all it takes is a television camera out there recording that, and that person's campaign is over.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right, and on top of it yeah, I don't put it past them, because what we're seeing right now is that level of political polarization. People will do anything. I mean, they're protesting outside of justices' houses, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, look at the lies that were told on Republican candidates by other Republican candidates. So,
yeah,
I mean, all it takes is one Democrat to say, "Hey, this person made a comment." Well, look at the comments made by a couple of this year's people talking about, you know, taking shots at these people. It's a slope straight to the bottom.
Well, I totally agree with you, Jeff, and thanks for the call, man. I got somebody else online too, but you are right, and great point. Political polarization would invite that kind of stuff, and there are people that would do it, and you know they would. All right, hey, line two, let me grab that one real quick. Oh, it's Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, bud?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind today, man?
Hey, you know, if you're bad enough for a red flag law for somebody to come take your guns, then you should be bad enough for them to take you in and put you in evaluation.
That's a great point.
They act like the only thing you can do harm to somebody is with a firearm. No. I'm driving around an 80,000-pound rig. I could smash your whole house, or I could, you know, there's a lot of ways. If I want to get you, I can get you.
Well, yeah, you're right. In fact, that guy up in Waukesha, Wisconsin, that's exactly what he did. He drove his car through a bunch of parade onlookers and killed, what, like 19 people. So you're exactly right. The person who is crazy enough to do something that causes them to come and seize your firearms is crazy enough to do it with anything. It doesn't have to be a gun.
Exactly. Like I say, if you're bad enough, they have to take your firearms away, then you should be institutionalized, you know, for a certain period of time if you're that crazy.
They
figure it out because, you know, they don't need to take your guns; they need to take you.
Well, I think any attempt to put these red flag laws into place, you know, in the manner which they're trying to right now, is going to wind up inviting lawsuits too. I think we're going to wind up seeing this challenged at some point. But hey, Jeff, appreciate you, man. As always, be safe out there on the road. All right.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thank you. All right. Copper, take it to the last break of the day. We'll go ahead and do that. We'll come back and wrap this up. This is good, but I tell you what, it's one of those subjects that's, I know it's tough because it comes in the heels of tragedy. But you cannot look at the criminal and say that all the law-abiding citizens now have to pay for the criminal's actions. That is not the way a free society works. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Time now, 4:53 p.m. That go-home mode is picking up. Y'all be careful out there on the roads. And, hey, Copper, is that line 2 back yet? Is he? I know he's going to call back after the break, he said.
Not yet.
Okay, well, yeah.
I'll highlight it when they are.
Yeah, I want to hear from him because of what you wrote up that he wanted to talk about. I think I'm very curious to hear what he says. So, Mike from Huntsville, you're listening. Call back in. In the meantime, I think that's Birdman on line 4. Birdman, are you on the phone? Is he on the phone, Copper? Did we lose him?
He should be on.
Birdman, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can now. What are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Y'all doing all right?
We're doing good. What's up, man? You calling about the red flag laws? Are you working right now? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm calling about the red flag laws because I've thought about this a lot recently, and I think this is a discussion that's being really overlooked in this whole ordeal. You know, men own, demographically speaking, the majority of the firearms in America, and on that same coin, men also are far less favored in child custody cases as well. And nobody seems to be talking about the fact that in court cases, if this red flag laws were to go through, this would put a lot of men in a lot of bad positions when, if they come out as the proper guardian, you know, they might be the ones that could protect the children more effectively because they own their firearms or whatnot. But nobody's talking about the aspect of men owning the firearms and not being favored in child custody cases.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen that. In fact, I've you know, it's unfortunate. My law firm, one of the attorneys specializes in doing quite a bit of guardianship work, and including assisting with DHR cases. And you see it all the time. Someone's trying to get their child back, and so they lie about the other parent so that they can try to make themselves look good in the eyes of the court. And it's
exactly.
Unfortunate, but it happens way, way too often. Absolutely, man. All right. Hey, bud, thanks for the call. And call in more often like that. That was good.
Absolutely.
All right. Line 2 real quick before we run out of time. I got Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I went through a situation before we had red flag laws. I was going through divorce, just like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I've got NFA weapons, which are class 3s.
Yeah.
And my ex-wife that was a teacher called the SWAT team and told them that I was going to shoot their school up, which was a complete lie.
Oh,
and fortunately,
wow.
A friend of mine was head of SWAT, and he stopped the entire thing. They'd all geared up, and he told them to stand down. Called me up, told me what was happening. And she had used that during the divorce, as well as the child custody issue, And one of the guys that was on the SWAT, I had actually gone to the FBI on, and that was what I was headed for, was being swatted or death by police. And she had set this up, and I asked her why she did it. She said that because if I died, she got it all. And so I'm telling you, the danger in this, I almost went through it. And fortunately, not everybody has somebody who knows or has had a SWAT.
Man, that's a great point, and I've forgotten about swatting because that's become a thing. But I'm sorry you had to go through that. But the reality is, you're right. You're affirming what I've been saying, is that a subjective, bureaucrat making a decision about something that someone lied about can just deprive you of your due process rights. And by the way, I would imagine too, you would have probably lost your NFA license, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, if they had sustained that, and in fact she did a PFA simultaneously, and
oh, wow.
If that had been sustained throughout the hearing, it would have been a violation of 18 U.S.C. 922 for me to even possess a bullet.
Wow. Well, you dodged a bullet on that one, man.
But the cruelty of that insanity makes that available as an absolute weapon, not a shield.
And that's exactly right. It becomes a weapon and not a, what a great phrase. And that's, I'll probably steal that from you, Mike, but it becomes this whole red flag law has become a weapon as opposed to a shield. And that's a great point. Hey man, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing that with us. And I'm glad that it worked out the way it did for you, but great call. Wow. Well, I mean, there you have it. I mean, right there, you've got somebody telling their personal story of an ex-wife who, because she thought she could get everything from the divorce, she made a false report. They almost initiated a SWAT attack on his house, or SWAT raid on his house, because she alleged that he had said he was going to shoot up a school, and it would have changed his entire life. All right, folks, listen. Red flag laws. Red flags are flying in my mind about the fact that people want red flag laws. There's a sense of personal responsibility that has to be accompanying this kind of decision making. And you cannot say that a bureaucrat should be allowed to sacrifice someone else's constitutional liberties simply because of an unconfirmed, non-adjudicated accusation. All right, enough of that. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. We're back here tomorrow at 2, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Y'all have a great night.